Amen. Thank you. Thank you, choir, for that. And I want to say thank you to June Pryor for serving as an elder today. This is June's first chance to serve here at First Christian, though she was ordained an elder at Crestwood Christian Church many years ago. I believe the first woman ever ordained as an elder at Crestwood Christian Church, which is a great thing. We're happy to have you sharing your gifts with us here at First Christian. We continue today, friends, our series called Unlikely Heroes. Last time we talked about Abraham and Sarah. Today we turn to Moses, as you may have figured out. We'll be looking at the third chapter of Exodus, starting with the first verse. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He said, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, how many of you watched the horse race yesterday afternoon? Anybody? Somebody sounds like they might have had money on it the way they're hollering back there. I have to say I have about as much interest in horse racing as I do underwater basket weaving. I know about the same amount about each thing, but Triple Crown winners don't come along very often. Triple Crown winners are a fairly rare thing, and so we managed to gather around the TV for about 15 minutes to watch and see history being made. I bet some of you remember the last time there was a Triple Crown winner. I was 3 years old the last time there was one. My wife was not yet born the last time there was one. Maybe you remember where you were, what you were doing the last time a Triple Crown winner was crowned. Maybe you don't. There were several of them through the 70s, but quite a drought before that until Secretariat won. That's one of those questions that we ask around those big moments. Where were you when? And many of us remember, where were you when Kennedy was shot? Where were you when the Challenger exploded? Where were you when the Berlin Wall came down? Where were you when Columbine happened, when September 11th happened? Where were you? Where were you when? We ask that question a lot because I think it helps to give shape, to give context to those big shared experiences, those things that we experience together but separately, those things that we hold in common. Sometimes they're more personal questions. Where were you when you had your first kiss? I was in my parents' basement. I was in seventh grade. We had a party designed specifically to achieve that purpose. Her name was Brooke, and for 4 seconds, all was right with the world. Where were you when you drove your first car? You remember where you were when you drove your first car? I was in the parking lot of Five Forks Middle School. We had an old pickup truck that you could see through the floorboard. And it was a shift on the column, if you remember the old shift on the column manual transmissions. It was the first time I ever saw my father wear a seatbelt, was that moment. I can't pick on him too badly because the first time I ever wore a seatbelt was when my older brother got his learner's permit, so I know how that felt. Where were you when God first became real for you? Where were you when God first became real for you? For me, that place was at camp, and I wonder if that, for many of you, church camp wasn't the place that that happened. I was at Camp Christian in Gordon, Georgia. It was Cairo camp, middle school camp, and I cannot remember a single lesson that was taught there, but I deeply and dearly remember feeling the presence of God in the relationships that I built there. And those relationships carry me still today. Location and memory are wrapped up in one another. You know, geography and context, it matters in what we remember and how we remember. Where you are, I think, affects how you remember what you remember. Place is important. Location evokes memory. Luke was in kindergarten this year, finished kindergarten this year. And every time I had to go to Mount Laurel Elementary and see the little chairs and see the learning centers and smell the gym, you walk into that school gym. I mean, it was 1979 like that. And I was in Knight Elementary in Lilburn, Georgia. It was a time machine. To be in that place took me to another place, and the memories just kind of flood in. Location is important. Location matters. We talked about it last week with Abraham and Sarah, how hard it was to hear those words, go from your home, go from your family, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you. We talked last week about how hard it was for some of you and some of the folks that came before us when this congregation said, it's time to go out into the wilderness of North Shelby County in the late 1970s. That was a leap of faith. That was a leap of faith and a difficult thing to go to a new place, because location is important, because location matters, especially when we think about the presence of God. We think about where God shows up. We think about where God is at work. We think about where we have experienced the fullness of the divine. Most of you probably know Moses' story about as well as your own. Moses, who was born at a time when the Pharaoh had ordered that all the Hebrew children be killed, be drowned in the Nile. His mom hid him in the reeds in the river in order to keep him alive. And the Pharaoh's daughter finds Moses, raises Moses as his own. When he's grown, he murders an Egyptian who is beating a Hebrew. And Moses flees to Midian, where he gets married, and he starts working for his father-in-law, Jethro. That's where we find Moses in today's story. He goes up the mountain. He's tending the sheep. He's at the top of the mountain. He's resting. He's there in the pasture. He's there in the dirt and the muck and the kind of stuff that comes with livestock. He is there, and all of a sudden, the bush catches fire. But it isn't burning, it isn't consumed, and Moses hears his name. God calls out to him from the bush is speaking, it is calling his name, and Moses says, here I am. Now, as Robin indicated in the call to giving a little while ago, I don't know that I would have responded as Moses responds. The nonchalance of here I am, when the shrubs catch fire and start speaking your name at the top of the hill. I wonder sometimes whether the biblical writers leave out some details that may stumble us along the way. You know, I'm sure Moses said, here I am. In my experience, there are a few steps between burning bushes and here I am. I think some of those details might be in the fine print and the footnotes, but anyway. Moses says, here I am. Moses says, here I am, and God says, remove the sandals from your feet, for the ground on which you stand is holy. I am the Lord your God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Take the sandals off your feet, for you are standing on holy ground. You know, 5 minutes ago, it was a place to tend sheep. And now it is holy. Now it is sacred. Now it is set apart. Something happened. Something different happened. In our world, when you want to find a place to worship, when you want to build a church, in our world, what you do is you start studying the demographics. You figure out where the people are. If you're really smart, you figure out where the people are going to be, just not where they are now. You find the people you're trying to reach, you see where they are, and you go and you hunt out a piece of land. You go and you look for a good piece of land. You want a piece of land like this one. You want to be on a busy street. You want good visibility. You want not to be landlocked and have some room to grow. And you go and you buy a piece of land and you get a site plan done and you have a capital campaign and you build a church. And we are here, of course, friends, because faithful folks came before us and did just that and did that well and wisely. That's how it works in our world when you want to build a church. But in the world of Scripture, that's not how it works. The places of worship are wherever God happened to show up. You want to know where to worship, you go where God has been. The worship site at Bethel was there because Jacob had a dream where he saw a ladder reaching to heaven, and he built an altar, and he built a place for people to worship. Solomon built a temple in Jerusalem because God said, Solomon, build a temple in Jerusalem. Peter, when Peter experienced Jesus' transfiguration, when he changes before them, Peter says, well, let's put up some tents so that we have a place to worship. Let's build some booths. Let's build some tents. This is where God has shown up. We need to worship here. Now, there's a reason we call the Middle East the Holy Land, because we believe that ground where Abraham walked, that ground where Moses stood, that ground where Jesus was, that somehow is different than the dirt in our backyard. It's holy because God has been present there. It is holy because we have experienced the presence of God. When I used to do youth ministry, when I used to do mission trips and retreats and things like that, one of my youth groups got in a habit of building an altar wherever it was that we worshiped, wherever it was that we went on our trip. We would read the story of Abraham and how he journeyed by stages and would build an altar everywhere that he experienced God's presence. So we would go on a trip, say we were on a camping trip, the kids would go get sticks and rocks and build a little altar, and that was our worship space for the week. That was where we experienced God. That was our holy spot. Now, if you came in after us, it would look like it was out of the Blair Witch Project or True Detective. It was really kind of creepy. But for us, it was holy ground. In this community, in this place, God is here. God is present with us. This place is sacred now. And we know how to act different, to act differently in different space. I mean, you can be out in the parking lot gossiping and griping and, you know, doing what you do, and in 5 feet you come into the sanctuary and something changes because this space is different. You know, we don't let our kids run wild in here because this space is different. We take our hats off, unless you're Luke, who is liking to model his stylish church wear. It's a different space. You know, those kids on those retreats, back in the room, they could be shooting bottle rockets at each other, but we get to that sacred space, and they behave differently. They know that something holy is happening here. Something different is happening here. I believe that we are hardwired to seek out and touch the divine, that something in us calls us to mark off space as sacred and to say, this place is for God. This is where we experience the holy. This place is different. It's part of who we are. Now, I mentioned Camp Christian in Georgia as one of my sacred spaces earlier. It was really where I grew up. I went to camp every summer as a kid, and then as an adult started serving as a camp counselor every summer, and ended up counseling many more camps than I ever did as a camper. And cherish those memories, cherish those times. Lots of good traditions there, as most camps have. But there were also lots of bad traditions. And the tradition that would grate on me more than any other as a counselor, loved it as a camper, but as a counselor, was the senior banquet and the last night of high school camp, where all the graduating seniors would give a speech. Now, we're in Gordon, Georgia. This is in the middle of Georgia, well below the gnat line, bugs and snakes and heat like nobody's business. An unair-conditioned dining hall, 100 kids, about 20 seniors, each one given a microphone to do a speech. The speeches were all the same. I love you, this is so great, cherish your memories here, a couple of inside jokes that nobody got, lots of crying, lots of tears, lots of stuff that comes with crying and tears, and it would always come to the same thing in every speech. I love this place. This place is so special to me. This place is so great. Cherish your time here. I love you guys. I love this place. I'm going to miss you so much. Which is fine, but when you listen to that 20 times, it takes about 5 hours, and it's 115 degrees in the dining hall, and it starts to wear you down. You get a little jaded and cynical over time. It was also difficult because when the kids said, "This place is so special," it was hard not to laugh because the place was a dump. It had been built in the years after World War II. Nothing had been changed in those the original cabins from the late 1940s. No air conditioning anywhere. This is the hottest part of Georgia. The plumbing was so bad. This was my favorite as a camp counselor. The cabins were about 3/4 of a mile from the swimming pool in the dining hall. But they're on the same water line. The pool leaked so badly you had to keep the pool filling the whole time. But you couldn't flush the toilets while the pool was filling. So one of the counselors would always get designated the runner to come down and shut off the water from the pool so you could flush the toilets and then run back and turn the water back on so you had more than 2 feet of water in the pool the next day. This place is so awesome. This place is so special. This place is so wonderful. So we'd keep hearing that until it got so bad. We had these kids get sick at a junior camp. It turned out that it was a virus going around. But because the facility was so bad, we thought maybe that the conditions in the kitchen were what had caused the illness. And they said, we cannot in good conscience send another child to this place. And they shut it down. They shut it down on a Friday night, and high school camp, CYF camp, is supposed to start on Monday. And so a handful of us got together on Saturday and said, can we find somewhere to pull this off? And we found a church in Augusta, Georgia, that had a retreat center like Hargis was for us, not nearly as nice, but had a retreat center they would let us use. We pulled it all together, we were able to go, and we had camp. And it ended up being a pretty good week, but it was tough for those high school seniors who had gone to Camp Christian and thought, this place was so special, this place was so wonderful, and then they had to give a speech. I was happy because I thought I was going to hear a different speech. I did not hear a different speech, it was the same speech. This place is so wonderful. This place is so great. Cherish your memories at this place. And I just banged my head against the wall and said, what is going on? Until I realized that I was wrong and they were right. Of course the place is special. Because this is where God shows up. This is where God has shown up. This is where God is real. The presence of God is here at this place at this time. This ground is holy. God showed up here just like God showed up there. Camp Christian was not sacred because the pool leaked and the toilets wouldn't flush. It was sacred because of God's presence. It didn't matter whether the pool leaked or whether the dining hall was hot or whether the bugs and snakes were there. It was sacred because we found God there. And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, John writes. And we've seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. From his fullness we all receive grace upon grace. No one has ever seen God. It is God's only Son who is close to the Father's heart who has made him known. God has been made known in Jesus, made known as one like us, made known as never before. You know, it's funny that the answer to Jesus being born in Bethlehem was not to consecrate that as the new sacred spot where we all must worship. Instead, because God comes as one of us in Jesus, all of a sudden everything is holy now. All of a sudden, God's presence is not just in this one place and in these one moments, but out here with us, in us, through us. Because if God can come as one of us, God can come among us again. If God is present anywhere, then God can be present everywhere. And all of a sudden, the world just seems to be bursting at the seams with the holy. The world is pregnant with the divine. We can't put God in a temple or a sanctuary. God's not going to be contained like that. We can't just come to church on Sunday mornings and expect this to be the place, you know, God, please be here between 9 and 11. No. God permeates our lives. God is among us, not just here, not just in one place, but all places, not just in one moment, but all moments. Because the God who meets Moses in that burning bush is the God who meets us in Jesus Christ and is the God who became flesh and dwells among us, not just at one time and one moment, but at this time and in this place. So take off your shoes. Stay a while. The ground on which you stand is holy. Amen. Thanks be to God.